Sorry about that. We are having technical difficulties tonight. I am not sure what's going on with Blog Talk Radio, so I hope that Scott and George are able to call back in a second. But until they are ready to call back in, I guess I will just... So we are about to bring Scott.
Yeah, hello. I'm here.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, yeah. Anyway, what did I say earlier about living with diabetes makes us really good at rolling with the punches?
Yes, 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 yes.
Or gives us a really good opportunity to blame things on low blood sugars. I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
My blood sugar is fine. This was totally my fault. Something popped up on the screen and I clicked it without reading to get it out of the way. And then the last show stopped. So totally on me, you guys. My apologies. And we've got George with us too. So
I hope I had nothing to do with whatever happened.
Nope, nothing at all. I'll take the full responsibility for that one, you guys. My bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because I'm sitting here and I'm really talking and going, and my words were coming out very clear, and I was, yeah, and I was like, oh, wait, what happened?
Maybe that was a sign that I was talking too much.
No, we just, Anyway, how about we pretend that none of this ever happened and we pick up right where we left off?
I really
feel bad for whoever ends up grabbing this as a podcast with no context whatsoever. I'm so sorry. Technical difficulties.
So, George, what's your target audience, George?
My target audience is people with diabetes that maybe feel alone. That's my goal, is to try to reach people that feel alone in hopes that they don't feel alone anymore. That's my hope, at least. But I don't know who I'm reaching, you know, but that's who my personal goal is, to reach people that maybe feel alone so they don't feel alone anymore. That's my hope.
Very cool. So basically, this analytic session that we participated in, it was cool because he showed us different tools that we can actually go in, even on Facebook, to see when our audience is most active. On Twitter, same thing, because pretty much his thing is that you don't want to talk and no one's listening. So if you know your target audience is on Facebook or Twitter from 12 o'clock to 5 o'clock p.m., that's when you want to send out your messaging or engage your audience versus, you know, spending time on the weekend when no one's there. So I was like, you know what? That totally makes sense, because now that I am aware of it, now it's like, to me, it's as far as like DSMA goes and DCAP, it's like, when should that messaging be sent out, or when is the right time to engage? So I know that on Wednesdays and Thursdays, there's a little bit more activity, but then, you know, any other part of the day is very mild. Or, you know, if you were thinking about, I know I was thinking about trying to do something with Google Plus. Well, Google Plus isn't even in the equation when it comes to top use, you know, platforms for social media, so it doesn't make sense to spend your time there. So I can go on and on and on about that session, but it kind of made me challenge myself to say, okay, because my answer was, okay, I want to reach people with diabetes. But then when you start looking at it, it's like, okay, it's very broad, and it needs to be kind of, you know, scaled down a bit. And I ended up figuring that out, which was good. And then we had another session that was taught by Jenny. She's the chronic babe. She was very good, but I didn't go to that class because that was more for people or advocates that wanted to turn, you know, blogging and their advocacy work into a full-time job. So I didn't attend that one. I was kind of like wiped out. So I was in the relaxation room, laying on the couch, relaxing. And then there was a great session by Susanna Fox, which I wish her session was longer than what it was, because she pretty much told the history of the internet as far as healthcare goes, and how healthcare and social media healthcare has evolved through the use of social media. So that was pretty awesome. But I can actually sit and listen to her talk all day. And then the other session that I attended was with Carrie, and I forgot the other doctor that was with her, but it was basically about compassion, how we as advocates are very passionate about things, and our compassion, sometimes we can just burn out. And it was interesting to hear everyone else's take on it from different disease states, as far as when it relates to, you know, emails and how do they handle emails, and how do you detach yourself from certain situations, because it's easy for people to get caught up in stories. So how do you kind of draw yourself away from everybody's problems but help them without getting emotionally attached to it? That was a very good session. And there was a session on the internet and law. And I did find out something that I did not know. Technically speaking, if you blog about an event, so say if I was to blog about this event, and you know how people put their disclosure and they say, and they kind of, instead of putting the disclosure on the page, they kind of just take and they link it to it, to the page. Technically speaking, you're supposed to put that at the bottom of the blog. No matter how often you blog about whatever you blog about, that disclosure should always be at the bottom of the blog post.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I didn't know that. Hmm. I was like, yeah, so that session was good, and it's also sharing about, you know, safe places to use pictures from the internet, which is Flickr has a website that has a lot of free photos for people to use through Creative Commons, and they're and that it's not okay to use. Do not use somebody else's photos from the internet, because you can get in really big trouble for that. And I mean, to me, that was it on the session. I mean, I can keep going and going and going, but we also went to go see. Me and Kim Velasnik walked over, not walked, but we took a ferry to go see the World Trade Center, which was kind of, it was fascinating to see, but even though it brought back a lot of memories. So, but what bothered me the most, though, about this is that there were people with selfie sticks smiling, taking pictures by the memorial. I mean, I don't get it. Maybe I'm just too old school or old fashioned, but I can't see myself taking a selfie with a big smile on my face over something like that. And I did have a cupcake. But yeah, that just really bothered me. And it still bothers me to the end. Like, I saw a selfie stick today at a meeting that we had at work, and it brought back these people taking pictures over something like that. I don't know. It's pretty, priorities these days, but that's a whole nother show.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Interesting that you mentioned Susanna Fox, because I just recently listened to a great podcast by a friend of all of ours, Christopher Snyder, who does a Just Talking podcast, which is a great podcast. All of us have been on it, and he recently had an episode with Susanna Fox, and that was a wonderful episode where she talked a bit about a lot of the work she's done, and it sounds like she was able to go into a lot more detail into some of the history around internet and how it's changed e-patients, or kind of created the e-patient movement. And I really would have loved to have seen that session, but for any listeners that want to get a little another taste or another perspective of Susanna Fox, check out Christopher Snyder's Just Talking podcast.
Yeah, I mean, she actually made me think about some things. And her thing is that, you know, most of the people that have cell phones don't have access to social media. So she kind of challenged us to figure out ways that we can reach those people that do not have, you know, social media on their smartphones. And like I said, I think about that all the time. But then to me, you know, I think everybody has social media on their smartphones, but everyone doesn't.
Yeah, I that statement confused me, which shows you just how stuck in my little box I am. Can you go into that a little more? So most people with smartphones don't have access or don't use social media on their smartphones?
Yeah, they don't have the access because of the data. So basically what she was saying is think of different ways to reach people. Go through, you know, old school text messages or old school emails, because everyone that has a cell phone doesn't have access to the data plans to use or properly use the phone because of the cost.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah,
so everyone with mobile phones does not have social media.
It's really interesting and kind of sad and funny that statement confused me, because it just shows it's a reflection of how stuck in my own world I am, right? Because I feel so almost overly connected at times that it's strange for me to think of other people who are not just that connected. That makes sense to me when I think about people in maybe other countries or in other areas, but I bet, you know, did she talk at all about, was she talking globally or in the U.S., or did she get into that at all, or what did that look like?
She didn't really say if it was globally or U.S. There was a slide that she showed up on the screen, and it was actually surprising to me, because usually, you know, you hear, well, everybody has a smartphone, right? Or everybody has a mobile phone. But you never think, I would never have thought to think, okay, do these people that have mobile phones, do they have data plans? Because almost every smartphone comes with the option to have a data plan. But then if you think about those people that, if you look at it in a diabetes space, people that have to choose between insulin and food, they may have a mobile device because that's their main source of communication, but they're not going to spend $20 to $30 a month to pay for the internet access because they need their medicine.
Yeah.
So even though almost every home in the United States operates and has a cell phone as their primary phone, that doesn't mean that cell phone has a data plan for people to be able to go use the internet on their phone. And that's when she said, think of different ways to reach people. Think about old school text messages, emails. Think of different platforms and ways to use old school media, digital versus new school, to expand your reach. Pretty crazy.
It's fascinating to me, yeah.
But it just makes you wonder, right? So if you take something like, I'm just going to use MySugar because I know that you work with them, like how challenging would that be to create something like a MySugar for someone that doesn't have, you know, access to use it because they don't have data plan?
Yeah, yeah, that is a big question. You know, I like to think that in many ways we're working to. So there's a big issue. It was actually one of the folks from Tidepool, Jamie, who was talking with about people that get left behind in the diabetes space. There's all these new technologies and new devices and new this and new that. There's a bunch of people that get left behind because they can't afford it or they don't have access to it or whatever. And it's an important group of people that we have to remember, right? And I like to think that we work hard to keep those people in focus because look at and I'm just going to keep using the MySugar example with a product like MySugar Importer, where you know, of course, there's all the meters that are coming out are looking to build in connectivity because that's just kind of the way the future is going, right? But what about all of us who have the older meters or our insurance plans won't support paying for strips on the newer meters, that kind of thing? So with MySugar Importer, we wanted to find a way to make it easier for people who have those existing meters to get that data into MySugar. Now, of course, there's the issue that you're talking about is a much, much bigger issue because once it's on the phone, you know, there's some reporting and things like that can be done. But without a data connection, where does it go from there? So it's really, that does kind of crack open a big question.
Yeah, I mean, George, what do you think? Like, seriously, there are so many people, and I know we've had this discussion as a whole throughout the years, but for her to say that at that point, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't, you know, these people don't have access to us.
Gosh,
it's not that they don't want it, they can't afford it.
Wow, I'm just not sure how you would, I mean, that's a tough one. Because like Scott, I'm sitting here listening to you guys, and I'm just kind of, my brain is all over the place, trying to think of how, you know, old school word of mouth, you know, but in a way, I mean, I guess that's part of the deal is that we kind of live here in this social media, in this place, you know. So, you know, I don't know how you would, gosh, I don't know. It's one of those ones that I guess you would almost need to talk to those people that are outside of, you know, that are in that space of, that you know, that have the phones that don't utilize data and ask, you know, how do we reach out to you? I don't know.
Well, to me, it's kind of like, go ahead.
Let's bring it home for a second, right? The reason that DSMA Live exists, Charisse, is because you wanted to reach people who were uncomfortable with the fast pace of Twitter.
Right.
And so I think that's a really great example of finding new channels and finding different ways to reach people through different, different avenues. And I think that's a great example of what she was talking about right there.
Yeah. And you know what else that I was thinking about, though, yo? What if once, you know, DCAP gets up and running, you know, and there's funding for it? I mean, I've read a lot of, you know, studies where people text certain things a certain part of the day. We may have to see about getting funding to possibly have, you know, access to people, or have people sign up that don't have access to data to receive, you know, some of the questions that we tweet out, or some inspirational messaging. I mean, I think that's possible, because you know how if you can text and vote on your favorite singer on American Idol, I'm pretty sure there's technology that would allow people for us to text back and forth with them and take it to the next level, which is text messages.
Or what about getting something like where getting people to Starbucks or someplace that's free Wi-Fi? I mean, if they have a smartphone, they may not have a data plan, but they can connect to Wi-Fi, right? I mean, if you have a smartphone but you don't have a data plan, you'd still be able to utilize apps and stuff on Wi-Fi. And even if you don't have Wi-Fi at home, there are plenty of places that have free Wi-Fi hotspots, like, like libraries or Starbucks or, you know. I mean, I'm just saying, like, that's another option, too, because if you have a smartphone, then you should have the ability to have applications, right? I mean, are we talking about something? We're talking like flip phones, and I don't know what to say about that. But
yeah, we're talking like so we're going to take social media out of the equation, and just say that say I came to you, George, and I read about everything that you did online, even Blog Talk Radio show, and I think that this is really cool. However, my problem is I have to choose between insulin and food and test strips. But I still want to feel a part of this community and have this chemistry with other people with diabetes, the same thing that you created online through social media. Can you create through emails? Can you create through text messages? And if so, I would really like to be a part of that, because I'm not being left behind.
Well, that's pretty tough, man. I mean, I guess I just start thinking about things like, a texting group or something, like at a particular time of day or something like that. I don't know.
It's crazy, though, isn't it? Because what did we use cell phones for before we had the internet on a cell phone? So we would pretty much have to go back to those days to help and reach more people and to provide what we provide, but do it in a way that fits their life. So diabetes online community will become not. You remember you used to say, George, we need to take and change that online and change it, because it's a community. It's not just the online or offline thing. It's a community, no matter if you participate on or offline. We need to figure out a way to merge that world with people that don't have access to any of those worlds. I mean, heck, people don't even go to meetups because they just don't have access.
Maybe we need that's a whole other thing. Maybe we need like a party line, like a phone call, you know, like back in the day, people used to, you know, big old conference call.
A party line with like 20 people on the phone.
Yeah, exactly.
You're laughing, but that's a good idea,
right?
Because guess what? You can use WebEx to have a conversation. People don't have to see the slides.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, you could do something like that. I just don't know how you would first connect to people like that. But if you met somebody who, you know, you could say, hey, well, we got to, I don't know. I'm not sure how that would work. But there seems like you talk about back in the day, how did people connect when you didn't have social media, let's say, or data plans with your phone? It was about, I guess, like that kind of deal, you know?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's one idea. I don't know where that would go, but I'm also coming up from a low, so my ideas may not be that great.
But that's okay though, because see, this is good because we need to investigate first, right? Then we can get the ideas going, the creative side, right? And then we could do the next step, which is to. I forgot what that next step was, and then we can activate. So it's the process that I learned today at work that I thought I'd share with you all. But it kind of makes you think outside of your box to get you to think, you know, even though we're all creative, there's still different sides of the brain that we all need to kind of, you know, reach out, and it's just different ways to just think in different ways and processes to make things happen. So there's the, you know, the investigative side, then the creative side, then the innovation, and then the activators. So it's crazy, but we'll talk about that later. But I think that's something that's worth looking into when the time presents itself, because granted, we all got a lot of stuff on our plate, but I think we just can't forget about those people.
No, I think you're right. I mean, I think that's definitely... a focus that we need to figure out how to connect with them, and that's a good thing to think about, and I think a good way to actually wrap up the show. It's about that time. It's already been an hour. I know I jumped in late, and I know we had some technical difficulties, but we are here now. So we just want
to
thank everyone for.
Oh, it's time to go.
That's it. It's already that time.
Oh man! So whoever's gonna get stuck with me. After this call, they're going to have an earful. So go ahead, George. I'm sorry.
Well, we
hey,
know,
you guys,
right.
Guess who gets stuck with guess who gets stuck with Sharif after the show? We do.
We do.
All right. Sorry. Go ahead, George.
That's all right. We just want to thank you all for listening and participating in DSMA Live tonight. Remember, DSMA Live is a program provided by the Diabetes Community Advocacy Foundation. Visit DSMALive.org to listen to archived shows, read show notes, and check the schedule events for upcoming shows. You can also subscribe to our podcast by searching DSMA Live in the iTunes store. Be sure and wear blue tomorrow for Blue Fridays. And until next Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, we'd like to wish you all a very happy and healthy week. Good night.